Grandpa Jim, Motivation, Central Station. How is everybody? I've not been on here for a while. You know, I preach. I'm a preacher man, son of a preacher man. I don't know if preach is the right word, but I definitely try to inspire, help people be the best they can be. My life's changed a lot since I've been on here. I'm working with a former gang member in my daily business, which is awesome for me because I like to teach, you know, being a grandfather. I love to get in there with my, you know, grandkids, and I've always loved to help inspire and teach my own kids. And then this gang member, I have more similarities with than you would think. You know, we both came from basically mothers that abandoned our families. And, you know, he really went through the ringer. I, you know, was nowhere near the trauma that this person has suffered. He was traumatized in so many ways. And he also has addiction. And so I see a lot of addictive behaviors in him. For those of you that are tuning in, my name is Jim Roth. R-A-U-T-H. I often go by Grandpa Jim. And I run a stand-up comedy school in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You might have seen some of my former pupils, such as Nate Bargatze on Netflix and HBO, and another guy out of Chicago named Joey Villagomez, who's been on Comedy Central, and he's lighting up shows in Chicago right now, and several other people that perform. But there's hundreds of people that have taken my comedy class over the last 21 years. And I have another one starting up in September in Milwaukee, and I'm thinking possibly about having a weekend where people could come from outside the country. And if you're interested in that, just go to my website at comedycollegeinfo.com. Love to get you on your comment. We need comedians. We need people to inspire and achieve. And so I also have a background in mental health. And so I work as a peer support for Milwaukee County, and I have maybe, I'm going to say 9 people on my roster now. About 5 or 6 of those people are, you know, I'm pretty involved with right now, and a couple, they go disappearing every once in a while, and a couple of them I have not heard from or been able to contact in a few weeks or so. So, my passion is helping others. My passion is mental health. My passion is comedy. I really enjoy what I do. And I hope that to be inspirational to you, I talk often about building, you know, a business. I've been an entrepreneur since I was 17. Always in little different business ventures, and that's helpful. I'm watching a squirrel climb a tree right now. And he's doing well. He's going upward. And I want you to go upward. So today I want to talk about a couple of things. Childhood trauma. You know, I come out of childhood trauma. And I also want to talk about family recovery, family addiction. Addiction is a family disease. And so we know, and I saw the cutest little thing yesterday online. I'm connected to a lot of 12-step recovery type groups, mental health groups online. You know, you like their page and stuff will come up in your news feed. And saw a real cute one with a mother. And typically when people are celebrating recovery, if you don't understand addiction, you probably never will. If you have an addiction, you know how horrible it can become. And, my apologies to the outsider looking in. But you may learn from listening to these conversations, you know, a mental health disorder is a lifetime. I don't say struggle anymore. I say it's a lifetime of coping, trying to manage emotions, try to manage past traumas, PTSD type symptoms. It's about, you know, accepting and owning those things. That's probably the biggest in my mental health profession. And I do a lot of 12-step type meetings. Probably the biggest thing I see is people having a really hard time accepting that it's a lifelong disorder. And so I like the word coping, not struggling, you know. The family disease, definitely want to cover some of that. And and then just the pandemic. Let me start with the pandemic, I guess. It's coming to an end, at least it feels like it here in the United States. You have to remember, folks, that the rest of the world is still on lockdown, still wearing masks, still doing, you know, we're very fortunate in this country that, you know, we can print money and throw vaccines to people. And then the thing that really gets me is I just want to ask you, if you're not vaxxed, you know, if your grandma was deathly ill and there was a chance that you're carrying the virus, maybe you're asymptomatic, right? You know, that you would infect your, you know, the love of your life, one of your grandparents. And so, you know, think about that. You know, as far as I can see, you know, I've been vaccinated. Everybody in my circles have been vaccinated, friends and, you know, comedy associates and people that I work with in social work. Everybody's vaccinated. Nobody's had any type of reaction. So other than maybe having a little bit of like, not feeling good for a day or so, immediately I was a little bit tired after the second shot for an afternoon, really, for a day. And that was it, you know, and now I'm fully vaccinated. I feel really good about that. I'm still cracking out the masks. We took a client and I, we went to lunch yesterday and we both decided we were going to wear our masks in. It was buffet style and, you know, so anyway, but I want to get into the pandemic, and people are really having a hard time with the adjustment to this new time period. There's just a lot of my clients and other people that do my work in the organization that I do that, a lot of people struggling with good times coming back, you know, and I think it's just a new normal again. And so a lot of people are stepping out and using drugs and alcohol and whatever their addiction is. I have somebody that is addicted to members of the opposite sex. Let's just say that. And both sides of the fence are just not healthy for each other, and they are not having really healthy relationships. And so I think we're all looking for a way to work with this new normal. For me, my recommendations to anybody that's having a hard time to cope is to stay close to things that have always worked for you. You know, I'm a big proponent of exercise, and I'm a big proponent of moderate exercise. I'm not a, you know, break your body down and, you know, build your muscles up to infinity type person. I think there should be a happy balance, but hey, if that's your thing, more power to you. So I would recommend any old hobbies that you have and things that are really near and dear to you, old books, that sort of thing. And just stay, you know, this is all going to come back eventually, but we're still in a mode of new discovery and what is the world going to look like? You know, already, you know, I'm experiencing, you know, by going out and traveling, a lot of things are different. Just trying to purchase things. There was such a run on a lot of items out there, and it's a little frustrating. It's like, you know, I've lived in America my whole life. I am so spoiled rotten. I don't want to wait 3 weeks for a new chair, table, but it's patience. I don't think it's going to be that way forever, but we're still, you know, just shortly after, just because the, you know, groups are being able to get together a little bit more in this country doesn't mean that everything is back 100%, that's for sure. So patience is a virtue. So just be, you know, there's so much you can't control. And if you can realize that I cannot control the pandemic, I cannot control the weather, you know, if you can get yourself more in that state of mind. But what can I control? I can control my food intake. I can control, you know, how much I exercise, what books I read, people I reach out to. And that's the other key in my world, is I recommend positive people, connect with positive people. There's so much research behind that. So I want to get into this family disease of addiction. You know, I grew up with my father, and by God's grace, he had one of his best friends lived near our home, and his family was for my sister and I. I have other siblings, but me and her they're older, and one had passed, but we hung out with this family, and they were wonderful. They took care of us. They taught us a lot of things. They were a musical family. It was really fun to be around there. I found a love for 40s music because Bob, that was the father over there, listened to it. He was a musician himself. He played on the radio in the 40s. And so it was cool in that way. But the family was very alcoholic. Bob had some complications eventually later on in his life from alcohol abuse. And that family, though, you know. So I see it from that perspective and how dysfunction it was in a first-hand front-row seat. My father is not alcoholic. I am alcoholic. You know, that's why I'm a peer support. I cope with depression. And so in their world there, you know, it really, really hurt the children. Every person in that family has some type of alcohol disorder right now. And so it is a family disease. It goes from one generation to the next. It's like eye color. If father has addiction and mother has an addiction, it's a really high chance that you're going to have it, or your children are going to have it. So, and just because somebody doesn't drink doesn't mean they don't have alcoholic behaviors. Alcoholic behaviors are impatientness, quick to anger, emotions jumping all over the place, very selfish in, you know, I want what I want, and, you know, that type of thing. Angry, dysfunctional in how to handle and cope with situations. But through a process of recovery, meetings, readings, and keeping a daily watch on it, you can cope. So anyways, yesterday I saw the most beautiful little thing. So I belong to these Facebook pages, and this mother was with her young girl, and the girl was holding sign. Typically, people that are celebrating a sobriety date, maybe 2-3 years sober, I think this young mother was celebrating 2 years of recovery, And so typically on these pages, a lot of people will hold up a sign in their hands and say, you know, I'm 2 years sober, you know, I'm celebrating 3 years sober today, that sort of thing. Well, it was kind of cute because a little girl was holding the sign. And here's the new day and age. When I was a kid, nobody would want to, you know, admit they were alcoholic or had a mental health problem. The health records were wide open. We didn't have HIPAA laws. So there was a lot of built-in bias towards people that if you were applying for a job, you definitely didn't want some of that stuff on there, that you'd be an alcoholic or, you know, it wouldn't put you in a very favorable light. So nowadays, kids, you have HIPAA laws, but it wasn't always that way. So this country's had a culture of, let's sweep this family disease of addiction under the rug. And, you know, things, even now, I don't believe that, even though I go to 12 steps, you know, I'm putting myself out here today. I must have mentioned, you know, a couple of times already today that, you know, I'm in recovery and I have addiction. And I think the more of us that put it out there, do I have that? Yes. Am I very functional? And I have been able to be, you know, I own 3 businesses. I see my grandchildren on a weekly basis. We have them come spend the night. I'm very involved with my family. And so you can too. You can, you know, have that same lifestyle. So I thought it was really great that this woman's putting herself out there. I also wrote a book series. It's called The Pre-Addiction Educational Series. So there's 4 books in that series. Amanda and her Amanda's uncle eats, drinks, and walks too much. So that's a book that really describes to young children. It's kind of done in a like almost a comic book style with a lot of drawings and pictures, and explains to the young kids with Amanda's like a superhero little girl that is in all the books, and she kind of explains, asks the questions like, what is an addiction, you know, and what is a treatment center? And she goes through this and it breaks it down and it explains it to children. So if you're going into recovery and you're going to go to a treatment center, the books in this series will help explain that to the child. You know, from somebody coming from a background of being abandoned. And when you're abandoned, you get abandonment issues, folks. So your child understands why is mom going off to the recovery center, you know? So they know they're going to get mom back when she's healthier and she can be more functional. It helps give them an understanding, and it helps give the child some strategies to cope when mom's around. And I think it's great. You know, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I'm from, is the first treatment center. There's a center here called the Matta House, and the Matta House was the first treatment program in the United States that realized that mothers did better in treatment when they could bring their children to treatment with them. And it is a family disease, so it's really cool how she is, this person online, was willing to, you know, get her child involved. And in this pre-addiction series books, my name is Jim, R-A-U-T-H, if you want to Google and try to find the books. They're on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, that sort of thing. And one's on self-esteem, you know. It really teaches kids, no matter, you know, who they are, you know, that they're valued and everybody has assets to offer to the world. The other one is Amanda and her mother go through a life of treatment, which, you know, I would think anybody going through this, it really breaks down the opioid crisis and why, you know, mom has to go in and, you know, to treatment to help get that one under control, and because it's such a physical disease. And the last one is about bullying, and Amanda tries to empower the kids and handles some pretty tough situations that kids come up in their life. And so you might want to check those out. And then, so the other thing is childhood trauma, right? So if you have addiction, the number one driving force behind addictions, addictions often referred to as the young people's disease, and that's because broken homes and being shipped into foster homes, like my gang member that works with me, you know, I'm really working with him, and he's been sexually traumatized and physically abused, and you know, but the kid has a good heart in there and trying to work. When I, you know, I'm a really inspirer, and but sometimes you have to say, hey, this work is not proper, and because, you know, we're working on $100,000 plus, you know, $400,000-$500,000 homes at times, and that the work's got to be, you know, absolutely stellar, superior. And he gets a little frustrated with me. He goes from happy-go-lucky, and if I make one little criticism, he goes to rage. You can just see it in his face, anger and rage. And so then I pull him aside, and we have a little talk, you know. And, you know, I just, right, you might want to try this with your kids, as I can see you're really angry right now. You know, and I'm not doing this. I love you. I'm not doing this to pick on you. I'm doing this to make you better and succeed. You know, I have 40 years of doing this kind of work on and off. You know, and so you have, you know, 4 months. So, but we're coming a long way. It's great. And so anyways, I'm just happy to be on here today with you. If you need help, you know, reach out to a therapist. You know, typically a therapy session will start with what they call a psychosocial, biopsychosocial interview. You're gonna see your therapist. They're gonna ask you some health questions about, you know, like, we know that maybe some pain could drive drug use. If you're, you know, got a sore back all the time, what are some strategies to come out through that? So it'll go through your physical and medical history, and then it goes through family of origin. You know, was there anybody else that used drugs and alcohol? You know, did any abuses come out of any of those relationships? And then the social aspects, you know, what does your social life look like now? Are you hanging out? Who are you hanging out with? So anyways, get help, aspire, achieve, you know, joy, find joy in life and peace. Find joy in life and peace. And it's a process. And it's, you know, these emotions come and go, you know, but if you can learn how to cope with the anxiety when it comes, if you can cope with the depression when it comes, it's makes your life so, or at least it made my life so much more enjoyable. It's rare that, you know, I get too many down days. And if I do, I have so many positive people to take my frustrations, worries to. And they usually have some really sound advice to get out, and vice versa. Then that person often calls me, and we try to get each other back on track. You know, life is a lot of highs and lows. And we, you know, I always say, since I came into recovery, my highs ain't as high when I was out there using, and but my lows are never as low as they were. And I like living in the middle and having more of a peaceful life. And so have a wonderful day. Hey, thanks for listening to Grandpa Jim on Motivation Central Station. Again, the Comedy College, if you're interested in some stand-up, it's comedycollegeinfo.com. The Pre-Addiction Educational Series can be found on Amazon. And you have a wonderful, prosperous day, and you know, God bless you all.